Right now, the Hollywood writers' strike is on the talk of the nation's opinion page. Late-night comedy shows are in reruns, the new season of 24 is delayed, and most other shows are up in the air. The main sticking point between writers and studios is money. In other words, who gets what slice of the new media pie. But Hollywood writer Rob Long says both sides have got it wrong. Instead of tweaking the old system, he thinks it's time to rewrite the whole industry. If you're a member of the Writers Guild, do you agree? And if you're like the rest of us and just watch these shows, is the old Hollywood system out of date? Give us a call, 800-989-8255. That's 800-989-TALK. You can also email us at talk@npr.org and comment on the blog at npr.org/blogofthenation. Rob Long is a writer and producer in Hollywood. His piece titled Get Me Rewrite ran in Friday's Wall Street Journal. He's been a member of the Writers Guild for 17 years and joins us now from our studios at NPR West. And Rob, it's nice to talk to you, and it's nice to know that you're out there in our studios.
Well, nice to be here. These are cool studios, by the way.
Yeah, here it was a close call getting you in there.
Well, it's just L.A. traffic.
L.A. traffic. Well, thanks for making it in. You get right to the point in your article. You say this isn't a negotiation. It's a murder-suicide pact. What do you mean by that?
Well, look, the studios can probably wait the Writers Guild out if they really want to. They have all the money, and the Writers Guild is just composed of individual members who've got to make individual mortgage payments, and the studios are composed of these gigantic media conglomerates. So if they really want to wait us out, they can. But the trouble is that the studios aren't really competing with the writers' share of the pie. There's no actual economic reason why they should be holding the line. We're all competing with online. We're all competing with video games. We're all competing with things like Facebook for the eyeballs and the entertainment hours and minutes of the audience. So what we should be doing is talking to each other and figuring out a way to give the writers a fair and generous even piece of the pie and allow the studio to sort of increase and get bigger market share online and kind of spread their tentacles to places where right now we're not getting paid anything.
Mm. And for people who aren't following these talks closely, is that not even coming into the negotiation? I mean, are they not?
Well, it's easy not to follow the talk since we're not having any. you know, you're not behind. You're just nobody's talking. What always happens with these things, and happens in Hollywood all the time, is when things get done, when deals get made, I mean, even actors' deals, writers' deals, they always get made the last possible minute. I've never, when I've done a show or cast a show, ever closed an actor or writer's deal when it wasn't 7 p.m. on Friday. Mm. It's almost always brinksmanship to the very end. And the problem with that is you never get a chance to rethink the system. You're always trying to tweak the old system. And I think that one thing we know, past 5 years, 6 years, the old system has got to go. There's a great piece in the New York Times today about the fact that these profit participants, and you know, usually actors and directors and big names in feature films, have made it really hard to make movies, to make as many movies as we should be making.
Hmm. And the old system has got to go because it just doesn't acknowledge, essentially, these new media streams.
It not only doesn't acknowledge them, it's trying to put them in a box. I mean, the one thing we must know, we have to realize in the past 20 years, unlimited bandwidth plus digitization of content equals smaller margins. I mean, if you were in the CD-ROM business or the long-distance phone business or the newspaper business, or the recording industry, really, you've really suffered from these two forces, unlimited bandwidth, digitization of content. Hollywood's going to have to do that. Luckily, we have these sort of predecessors in the junkyard, the scrap heap of profits to like learn from, and unfortunately we're not. We're still talking about the old things.
Rob, you wrote a piece back in 2005 that sort of pulled back the curtain on some of the Writers Guild negotiations, and you pointed out that the largest voting segment of the Guild are unemployed writers. And this was sort of, you sort of gave voice to something that isn't really talked about openly out there. And I'm just wondering, by that account, do the people driving the negotiations and the strike really have that much at stake here?
Well, I mean, the situation has changed a lot since then. And even then, I think I might have been wrong. The truth is that the people voting for this strike are sort of across the board writers, people who either have a stake in a project they haven't written yet and hasn't been sold yet, and maybe they'll never write, never get sold, and the people who have something on the air now. It's easier if you're a showrunner, meaning you're a guy with a TV show on the air. You're usually getting paid a lot. You can take 6 months off and sort of goof around if you want. It's harder if you are a working writer where you're living paycheck to paycheck or script fee to script fee to take this kind of time off. And that's where the studios have their leverage. I'm not sure ultimately that what we get out of this contract is going to be worth what it costs us to get this contract. And so I was sort of in favor of a couple years ago just arguing for the Writers Guild to throw it out and come up with something new. I mean, there are people all over the country right now in these big law firms at McKinsey, at Bain, at in Silicon Valley who are rethinking copyright and copyright payment. And well, we should have been the ones to, you know, it's negotiations 101. You got to bring to the table a brand new way to think.
We're talking to Rob Long. He's a writer and producer in Hollywood, and we're talking about the Hollywood writers' strike, and we're taking your calls at 800-989-8255. If you're a member of the Writers Guild, do you agree? And if you're like the rest of us who just watch these shows, what do you think? Is the old Hollywood system out of date? Give us a call. So let's go to Ted, who's calling from Burbank, California. Hi, Ted. You're on the air.
Hi. I'm sorry. Catch your name. I just tuned in.
Sure. You want my name? My name is Anthony. It's good to have you on the show.
Okay, Anthony. My name is Ted Lang, and I've written television under three different names since the 1960s.
Sure.
Put it in perspective. But the fact is that we are asking for nothing more than what we used to get. Let me explain that. Back in the days prior to the internet, if you wrote a television show, you had the right to 5 reruns. That is, they could replay the show 5 times, for which you'd be compensated on what they call the sliding or declining scale.
Sure.
Now, the first time something was rerun, you got approximately 93% of what you made when you first wrote the television show. So if you made $50,000, you would get almost $50,000 again.
Right.
Okay, that historically is how the system worked. However, back in the 80s, the producers came to us and said, look, we've got this new medium called VHS, but we don't know how it's going to work out. So what we'd like to do is we'd like to partner with you, and we will give you 4 cents per each VHS sold out of whatever the sales price is. But that 4 cents, we'll work with you on the next strike. They never did. It never went past 4 cents. So if you remember when this strike started, there was a big push for the increase in DVDs, which is just a new media.
Sure.
VHS.
And now the new medium is online video, correct?
Exactly. So right. What has happened here now is if you have a television show you've written and you've been compensated to the tune of, let's say, $50,000 for, where you normally would get that money again the first time it was rerun, they are rerunning this stuff as promotional, and they're not paying you a dime. Hmm. So this is a big issue. This isn't just, well, a matter of 4 cents on a DVD. Who cares about DVDs if you take a look at it? Because people can go on the internet, and they can download it to their own DVD, or they can download it
okay.
to their hard drive.
Well,
all right,
and actually,
Ted,
the smart thing is that...
the issue.
Okay.
Yeah,
and Ted is right in many ways. I mean, the smart thing that the Writers Guild did early on, the very last minute, for everything happens here at the last minute, in negotiations the Sunday before the strike, is they gave up the DVD request. We were asking to double the DVD residual schedule. We gave it up because it really is a dying business anyway, and online is the future.
Hmm. All right, Ted. Well, thanks for the call.
And you see, if
oh,
I
go
can
ahead.
Say one more thing.
Sure, go ahead, quickly.
My children do nothing but watch television on a computer or a phone. And so, you know, we're going to lose the entire rate of compensation, what keeps us in the bit business, by this action going through and not addressing this issue now.
But, Ted, let me put this question to you and to Rob. Is anyone really making money now from online video? And is there any pie to share right now?
Well, the producers are making loads of money because each one of those sites is compensated on a per-hit basis.
Mm-hmm.
So
every time somebody hits
a site, the producers are getting something, yes. From my understanding, the producers immediately get a share of that pie. We're not getting a thing because this is a promotional opportunity for the writers not to get paid anything.
Okay, Ted.
And that's what's happening.
I appreciate the call. Yeah, Rob, you were about to chime in there.
Well, you know, obviously I'm a member of the WGA and I'm out on strike and I support what we're asking for. Hmm. But the truth is, this idea that there's this pot of gold on the web that's advertising revenue sponsored is just crazy. I mean, you ask anybody at Yahoo or Google if they're making a lot of money on individual sites or making money on the web, it's just not the case. I mean, the web is Walmart, you know, it has everything. And so everything's in there for a low price and you compete with everything. the benefit of the Hollywood system right now is that it's run on a deficit. I mean, people, an episode of television, it costs about three times more than anyone gets paid for it, because the studio is playing this long-term game of saying, okay, well, we own the copyright to this show, and we can sell it in reruns and in the future and in a million different ways. I mean, the Writers Guild probably, in my opinion, should be less interested in the specific ways a show is rerun and how it's rerun, and more interested in a window, sort of the amount of time that a studio has the right to rerun something. Hmm. And we're going to end up having to go to some lump sum payment. This is not a crazy idea. This is essentially what everyone in the music industry is going to, which is basically subscription fee to listen to music, and then the artist will be paid out of that subscription fee. And I think we're going to have to do that too, and we're going to have to wrap our heads around a new system. And you know, that's, as I said, it's really hard to come up with a new business model when you're screaming at each other.
We're talking with Rob Long, who's a writer and producer in Hollywood, about the Hollywood writer strike. You can join the conversation. Give us a call at 800-989-8255. That's 800-989-TALK. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And let's go to David, who's calling from North Carolina. Hi, David.
Hello.
You're on the air.
Yes, I'm a Hollywood composer. I've scored Moscow and the Hudson, Mystic Pizza, Three Fugitives,
wow,
on and on, Brooklyn Bridge, the series, A Year in the Life.
You're famous. What's your name?
David McHugh.
Okay, David, nice to have you on the show.
Thank you. And I'm calling not as a writer, but as a composer. And so many of my friends, Derek Washburn, who wrote The Deer Hunter, and Robert Caswell, the doctor, and lots of my friends are writers. And it's a standard joke in Hollywood that, well, the Writers Guild just didn't get a good deal when they were negotiating for the writers, because they really are on the lowest end of the totem pole. I, as a composer, enjoy six figures a year income from royalties of my films. I collect royalties on a TV movie I did in 1971.
Hmm.
It's played all over the world. So
hey, I want
really,
that deal.
15 years ago, I was having dinner with Bob Holmes, who was the head of business music affairs for Sony. And Bob said, my God, it used to be so easy. You'd negotiate the composer fee for the film. He says, but now we have to negotiate video rights and music rights and this rights and that rights. And he said, if we don't do that, we are going to get caught without being able to use our product years from now. So the music people woke up to that 20 years ago and have been doing fair negotiation for the composers. So I sit here and enjoy my life, and my writer friends are looking for some day job, because the guys who have major features are getting nothing.
All right, David. Well,
is exploited. So.
I appreciate it. Okay. Rob Long, does David make sense? What are you saying there?
Well, you know, composing is a slightly different thing, and also, you know, the pay scale is different. I mean, there's a lot more money up front for writers across the board, and so the studio's position, which has 15% validity, is, hey, listen, we pay all these upfront costs. We fund all of these projects that never get made. We buy scripts that don't get made. We make shows that don't go to series. We spend millions of dollars on pilots that never air. Those are sunk costs of our business, and we need to squeeze all the back-end revenue we can to pay for the system, which benefits everyone. And there's a certain amount of truth to that.
Hmm.
The difference here, I think, is that this is the first time that this stuff, all of this material that we're writing, is fungible across all these different ways. I mean, it used to be you had to have a big TV set, and you only had one, and now you have five, and now you have one on your phone.
Mm-hmm.
And so writers are starting to think about who's watching my stuff and how are they watching it. And I think our first caller was exactly right. If you're talking to a kid who's under 15, about what time he sits down to watch The Office or something, and he looks at you like you're an idiot.
He
watches it when he wants to.
Well, this, and this raises a great point. Jonathan in San Francisco sent us this email. Just listen to this, Rob. There's no way to determine this issue with a long-term contract. The way media is being delivered is changing faster than ever before, and it will not be possible to develop a revenue-sharing agreement when no one knows how profitable each individual digital medium will turn out. The writers in the studios need to consider to signing a shorter contract so that the new digital media can be taken into consideration as they develop.
Well, he's absolutely right.
That's
absolutely right. And the truth is that it would benefit the Writers Guild to offer a variety of ways for writers to choose, to demand, in fact, that the studios offer writers a choice in how they want to get paid, two or three different versions, so that we can, at the end of 2 years or 3 years, say, hey, well, you know what? There's one that's actually more lucrative than the other. Eventually, it's going to go to some form of one-time license fee, one-time payment from a studio for a one-year window or a two-year window that they have to renew over the years. That's what's going to happen.
Let's try to get one last call in here. Andy's calling from Roanoke, Virginia. And Andy, we have about 40 seconds left, so be quick, please.
Okay, thank you very much. My comment just is this. I think once you buy something, you buy it. They should negotiate something to where, you know, you buy it, you pay for it, it's theirs forever. This thing about going in and out all the time of every time it's a rerun being paid sounds like going into a museum and paying to look at each picture.
So you have a problem with the whole concept of a royalty, of being paid for its reuse or reviewing.
Exactly. Hmm. I mean, just pay them for the entire thing. Buy it outright.
Okay, Andy. Well, Rob Long, here's your chance to respond to Andy's point.
Well, I'll tell you that there are a lot of people who feel that way. I mean, young people believe when they buy a piece of music, they own it, and they can give it away, or they can reproduce it, or they can listen to it 10 different ways. It's awfully hard. Copyright is going to have to be rethought. Residuals and royalties are going to have to be rethought. And it's hard to rethink it, you know, with all this noise going on. But I really believe that this Writers Guild strike is the first wave of people trying to figure this issue out. It's just too bad it's happening right now.
The co-creator of Lost warned today that if this drags out for more than 3 months, we won't have any new scripted TV shows until January of 2009. What does that mean? A diet of reality show, I guess.
That's almost there now anyway. May as well finish the job. I'm hopeful that people will get smart and they'll come up with a solution. We got very close to a solution before the strike started, and this is Hollywood. This is where deals ultimately get made, and we can only hope one gets made fast.
All right, Rob Long. Well, thanks for coming in today. I appreciate
it. Thanks for having me.
That's Rob Long. He's a writer and producer in Hollywood. He also does commentaries for KCRW, our member station in Los Angeles. We've posted a link to his essay in the Wall Street Journal at npr.org/blogofthenation. This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Anthony Brooks.